All right, let's get back to the Chiefs and a man that's going to be in Vegas, obviously calling the Raiders game in a couple weeks right here on 96.5. The Fan is Dane Inn Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I don't know when you're flying into Vegas. I know you got a little event going on that Saturday as well, but I don't know if your flight gets in on time Friday night. You gotta swing by the happy hour, man. Did we lose Dane Inn?
Hey, what's going on?
There we go.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. We got some things going on. I'm doing an appearance with Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, former teammate here in Kansas City. So, yeah, it should be fun to get out to Vegas. But we got business in Niner country. It's going to be a very emotional game for them, I'm sure, with how we've fared against them, especially in the big games in recent years. So get this one tackled, get 6-0, and then we'll have some fun in Vegas.
It's a rare spot, Dane, where the Chiefs are underdogs going into a game. We know Patrick Mahomes has fared very well in those. He's 11-1 against the spread. He's got 10 wins straight up when they're a dog. So this is a spot where he usually performs extremely well. How do you view this just straight up matchup and where the Chiefs are right now off the bye week?
Yeah, you know what? You have to wonder, how does a 3-3 team, even though they've sustained a lot of injuries, how is a 3-3 team a favorite against a 5-0 team who beat them in the Super Bowl? Now, it's not a big deal for us. We've been underdogs before. Patrick Mahomes has been obviously a guy that stepped up to that challenge or that obstacle. We feel comfortable where we are, especially not only having played them and beaten them, but also coming off a bye. And Andy Reid and Patrick's record coming off extended breaks and byes has been phenomenal as well. So it's going to be an uphill battle. They got a lot of incentive on their side. I've been in that position. Heck, this Chiefs team has been in that position. Let's remember week one against the Ravens. You're playing against a team that had all the incentive in the world and all the emotion on their side to win, and they came up a couple of inches short. San Francisco, the difference is that we're going out and playing on their home field. I know their fans will be rabid. I have some family members that are Niners fans that are already talking trash, and I expect that to increase as we get up to the game as well. But they are definitely a team that, and I know this might sound crazy to say because it's always the opposite, but they are a team that's better than their record. They are definitely better than their record. They are still a team that's part of the cream of the crop of the NFC, and we're going to have our hands full.
Dana, how frustrating does it get to be on one side of a lopsided rivalry, right? I mean, these two teams have played in the two most important games for either franchise, right? In 5 years, they've played in two massive games. Chiefs are coming on top. George Kittle was saying in a podcast, he hasn't even beaten them once. He said they got one preseason win his rookie year when he didn't even play. That is the last time in his mind the 49ers even got the Chiefs. Like, is it frustrating to be like, we play in big games, but it doesn't seem like it matters because one team always wins?
It absolutely is frustrating, especially if you feel like you're better than the other team. And you have to believe as a player that you're always better than your opponents. In this case, I'm sure they have to wonder whether they are truly better because of the injuries that they sustained. Now, they've gotten most of their guys back except for CMC. But I was in this position as well. We played the Indianapolis Colts. People remember back in 95, the Lynn Elliott game, and then playing them again the next year. And it just always seemed like they were the nemesis. No matter how good we were, we just always had a problem with them. So not to the level of what the Niners have experienced with losing two Super Bowls, but at the same time, the feeling is the feeling. And you wonder, and that could be a feather in our cap in regards to getting this victory, because when the fourth quarter comes and hopefully the game is, whether it's not tight on our side, which would be great, but if it's tight on their side, up or down by 4 points, some of the remnants of the Super Bowls come back to haunt them in regards to how they get tightened up. Maybe in coaches' decisions, what they decide in regards to putting the ball in Brock Purdy's hands or trying to play it safe. Those things, doesn't matter how much you prepare all week, doesn't matter what your game plan is, we've seen how Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team takes people out of their game plan. We have to believe, and we've talked about this before, we have to believe that John Harbaugh did not go into the AFC Championship thinking he was going to run the ball less than 10 times. But yet, he felt the pressure based on that first drive and us driving down the field that they had to get away from their game plan. That might be a similar circumstance subconsciously to Kyle Shanahan. Consciously, you don't do those things. It's subconsciously that you start to think, man, let's try not to lose this game versus going for the win. And a lot of coaches have made that mistake against this Chiefs team and haven't fared well.
We're talking to former Chiefs wide receiver Danen Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, Sunday afternoon right here on The Fan, you will hear Danen Hughes along with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, and Dan Israel as they get you set for the game and obviously during the game as well. Now, we saw movement in the wide receiver market this week, Danen. Davante Adams goes to the Jets. Amari Cooper goes to the Buffalo Bills. Did you think that Amari Cooper was a realistic possibility in Kansas City? And if the Chiefs go in the next couple weeks and continue to get Juju Smith-Schuster type performances like we saw, do you feel like they're still going to need to go out and get a wide receiver?
Yeah, I just was never of the school of thought. I was never on team go get somebody. Not fully, especially at the wide receiver position. When you have options like Juju, who came back, has been familiar with the organization, familiar with the terminology, familiar with the quarterback, and everything that's involved, I feel like the one position with this team that you just can't go get somebody mid-season or in the first quarter of the season and expect them to have any immediate impact is the wide receiver. I just think that although we are a finely tuned offense, we have the greatest quarterback to play the game, it takes time. And considering maybe if the bye week was in week 8 or week 10 or later in the season like it has been in recent years, maybe I would think that. But now with us having the bye week just this past week, we're talking about without the number one seed, we're going to have 15 straight weeks of football. When would that receiver catch up? When would he garner enough trust and understanding of the offenses, the shifts, the motions, the improv, being on the same page with Patrick? When would that come with 15 straight weeks of football? I just didn't see it happening. Now, to have talent is great, and if we sustain another injury, my answer might be different, but I just feel like the comfort level of where we're at. And then taking into consideration, let's say it was Amari Cooper, as good as he is a receiver and playmaking ability that he's had. Like, I wonder, and it's a metric that we can never measure, but by the time he would get up to speed, by the time he would be comfortable, by the time Patrick and Matt Nagy would be comfortable with him being a staple in the offense, would that time would have been better served by having a Nico Remigio or Justin Ross or getting more reps to Xavier or having Juju have a part of the package? Would that have served us better than getting those guys who are familiar with the system up to speed and involved? I don't know that answer. That would be the main question that I would have. But I just feel like we're in a good place right now as long as we don't sustain any more injuries.
If you look at what the defense has been doing, I had said on yesterday's show, day before, I don't remember, that I think this defense is better than last year's. It's already playing better than than last year's defense was at this point. But the carryover effect from where they were seems to me that they're already there. I think the single biggest reason why, Danen, is Chris Jones. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo was just talking to the media and said, I can promise you the other 10 guys on defense are happy Chris Jones gets the attention he gets. I know he's been a monster his entire career, but is he at an even new level for normal Chris Jones? Because it seems like he's getting double and triple teamed on every snap.
Well, I mean, that's the recipe for trying to quiet him down. It's kind of one of those situations where you can't stop him. You just kind of hope to contain him. I know we use that vernacular more in the NBA than anywhere else, but it reigns true here with Chris Jones. He knows he's the dominant force. His maneuverability around the defensive line, whether it's over the center, over the guard, or outside the tackle, creates a lot of headaches for opposing teams, especially when he does it like when they're set up at the line of scrimmage and you see him move guys around just to take advantage of one-on-ones that he knows he can win. that creates issues from a protection standpoint. Now, they got a guy over there named Trent Williams that if Chris Jones lines up against him, I'm sure Trent is saying, I don't want any help. I want to be able to nullify his the business that he's trying to create on my own. But what about the other guys? What about the other five guys or four guys on the offensive line? What are they going to do when Chris Jones lines up against them? And then the creativity of Steve Spagnuolo in the blitz packages. We've seen our blitzes specifically equate to wins at the end of the game by confusion of the protection and by the freak-out nature of the quarterback. I mean, that happened in the first series against the Saints and Derek Carr. Like, he was already freaked out by our blitz package and totally confused. And, like, I don't think Brock Purdy is any more mobile than Derek Carr, definitely not more mobile than Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, but yet we've seen how this defense can affect even those top echelon guys. So, yeah, Chris Jones is a man-child. He's a force to be reckoned with, and I'm sure there's a lot of late nights or early wake-up calls to offensive coordinators having to deal with him.
Danon, we talked to you during training camp about, at that time, the cornerback number two battle, and you know, is it Josh Williams or Jalen Watson, and who's going to emerge? Even the coaching staff openly talked about how nobody had really risen to the top, and they're going to have to play this thing out. And yet, fast forward, it's the middle of October, and Jalen Watson's been doing an incredible job, and there hasn't been the drop-off from losing L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, there hasn't been at all. And I think part of that indecision early was the injuries that were sustained by both of those guys during training camp. You just didn't really have the full sample size of which guy would assume the role. And I think the decision was excellent. I don't know if Joshua Williams would have been as good as Jalen Watson, but we do know what we're seeing from Jalen Watson is a lot of confidence for a guy in his young years and taking up a spot that you knew with Trent McDuffie and how efficient he was opposite him, that you knew that was going to garner a lot of attention. And he stepped up and he's doing it in such a confident fashion. He's not getting the penalties downfield because of indecision or uncertainness of his abilities, like we've seen from defensive backs in the past, getting too handsy downfield, not sure when to turn their head, maybe being too physical because they weren't sure about their speed. He's playing like a wily veteran, and I'm sure that he learned a lot from L'Jarius, has gleaned a lot from Trent McDuffie, and they just work in sync together so well. And they're physical, which is really cool to see at that defensive back position. Across the board, when you talk about Shamari Connor, Justin Reed, Brian Cook being more of the center field player, and those other guys being like hybrid linebackers. Like, I played with some physical corners, James Hasty, Kevin Ross, Dale Carter, and I remember how that affected opposing teams when wide receivers didn't want to block them or felt like they were going to get choked up in man-to-man bump and run coverage. And that's kind of what we've set the standard right now at the cornerback position, that we're going to be more physical than our opponents on offense, and it just shows in the stats.
Dana, knowing the injuries, if the Chiefs win on Sunday, is it the single most impressive win they've had this year? And you said they're better than their record, the 49ers.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I think the wins against the Ravens and against the Bengals might be better. You know, time will tell, especially with us being on the road, and depending on how it unfolds, that answer could change. But given the circumstances last year, week one, playing against the Lions, losing that game by 1 point, coming back here after the same type of celebration and dropping the banner and playing against a team that had every incentive emotionally to win that game and had every opportunity late and then winning that, I feel like if we lost that game, we might not be talking about this team being 4-1. That's how important I think that win was against the Ravens. But this one is just as important right now because it's the next one.
Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, safe travels out to Santa Clara, man. We'll be listening on Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan.
All right, fellas, and I got Players Only coming on tonight, too, the debut.
All right.
2024 of Players Only, so I'm amped up about that. So 6 to 7 p.m. on 96.5. I'm ready.